Good morning. It sounds like you're having a good morning.
Yeah.
I just want to go through a very long list of announcements. Please remember the prayer meeting on Thursday. That's it. Oh, yes, and then, what do you think about the flower stand?
Mm.
Yes, thank you, Mariki. Is there anybody who'd like to open in prayer? So I don't have to do it. I'm going back third, right hand side. Let's see, who's there? We've got Edmund and Franz and Marius. Anybody? But you're in the front.
Come on, dear Sunita.
Elmer, you
good morning, everyone. Elmer, you know, that was one of the most terrible things. When I got saved, Saturday night, my stomach would be queasy because I know on Sunday's church, and it's probably likely the minister is going to ask me to open in prayer. And he'd look around, and then he'd see me. And I would sit like that. Don't do that.
Oh, while you're up there.
But I thank the Lord that, you know, things change. And I got into it, that I could actually pray in front of people. So let's pray. Let's speak to the Lord. Father, do you want to thank you, Erica?
Yes.
Please pray.
Yes.
Amen.
See, I told you so. Amen. Let's sing that song again. I will believe. Please stand. You are my light.
You are my strength. You are my rock. On you I stand. I lift my voice. I raise my hands. I lift my soul with all I am. In Christ forever I stand. I will believe.
You are
strong enough in my weakness. God be lifted up and I will sing. Lift your praises high. Lord, be magnified. You make all things new. I will believe.
You hear the song.
Receive our praise. You are strength for all our days. We lift you up, our voices high. In every storm, let God arise. Christ forever I stand. I will believe. You are strong enough in my weakness. God be lifted up and I will sing. Lift your praises high. Lord be magnified. You make all things new. I will believe.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
What's those words? The weak made strong in the Savior's love. Whether that's standing up and professing your faith or coming up to pray, it's all in Him, for Him, to Him.
Amen.
Through us, because we are His hands and feet. The splendor of the King, how great is our God.
Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. Wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God at three in one, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. Our great is our God, and all will see our great.
on that note, we just want to lift your name.
Jesus.
And praise you and say,
hallelujah. We worship you.
Lord, we praise you and worship
Jesus.
You for being our God.
Hallelujah. We glorify
and having,
you.
Having us as your people.
We magnify you. Thank you, Lord. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. A wounded cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost his grips on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought by the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No guilt of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hands, till he returns or calls me home. Clear in the power of Christ I stand.
Is there anybody that would like to share something before we take up collection?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to share this word with you just to encourage you. Amen. When you look at the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 10 verse 17, it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to you in your name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ got the power, the authority over everything on earth, including the demons, including the devil. There was a certain woman who was very poor and she was starving, and she was listening to a radio station and she called. When she called into the radio station, and the woman pleaded to God to provide her with some foodstuffs. So there was a non-believer, non-Christian, who was also listening to what the woman was requesting for. So he tried to mock at the woman, to make joke of the woman. So he collected the woman's address from the radio station and asked the secretary to take some foodstuffs and send it to that woman. He gave the address to the secretary. And he told the secretary, when you go and the woman asks you who sent you, tell the woman that it's the devil who sent me. So this secretary sent the things to the woman. And as soon as the woman saw the foodstuffs, She was so happy. She didn't even ask. She didn't bother to ask who sent you. She just started packing the things into a small room. Happily, grateful to God. So the secretary was wondering. And the secretary asked the woman, "Won't you ask me who sent me to bring the things to you?" The woman said, "Oh, I don't bother. I don't care at all. Because even my God can order the devil to send things to me. Because when he orders, every knee bows. Any illnesses, any sickness in you, any problems you are going through, when our Christ ordered him to leave you, to leave your family, to leave your situation, he bows and flees. Let's put our trust in God. Because even the demonic forces obey the orders of the Creator. Amen."
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Nelly from Zimbabwe. I want to share my testimony. I thank God so much about my life since I come to Wellington. And I want to thank pastor and family. Since I live here in South Africa, I didn't stay comfortable like the way I'm staying there. I just say, God, may God fulfill everything he needs and his family. I started coming to this church, but I started in a Bible study. We were doing reading in Romans. So it touches me. I have my church, my own church, which I always go. But from this group, every Tuesday, it makes me not to waste money to go to Paro to church every Sunday, to come here. Because I see something in that Bible study. So I ask, one day I ask, "I hear you saying there's a prayer, a day of prayer. Can you allow us to go and pray?" He said, "You are free to come and pray." I just come. So we were given prayer request. I want to share something to you. If you are staying near, don't lose Thursday prayer.
Amen.
There is something in that prayer. Yes. If you need something, you get it. So we come and put our prayer request there. Something was happening. I'm very shy to testify, so I was sitting down. But the one which makes me to stand here is the one was very terrifying me and my family. So I just give a prayer request this day because I was very confused of that thing, very confused. If I am confused, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray. I just look for somebody else somewhere to say, "Can you pray for me for this thing?" So that day, I just come and put my prayer request. Today, when I was sleeping last night, I realized that Nehemiah was a man who was working to the, I think he's a king or somebody, pouring wine. But in her country, in his country, there was a problem. So people comes from that country to come to Nehemiah and said, "Hey, you are here. The gates of bend down, the people, they are suffering. they are under threat. Nehemiah didn't talk to them. He just cried. And he fasted and prayed. What touches me is Nehemiah 1 verse 6. It tells me he prayed for the people of Jerusalem to be saved. So it's the same as me. I come with my prayer request. It's from my family home. I come with it. People pray with it. I didn't sleep well because, you know, we are people, we got a short faith, other people. But when I wake up, I go to work. When I was at work around 11, my daughter called me. She said, Mama, I say pray for me yesterday. Pray for this function. It's done. God did it. Thank you for your prayers. What I did, I tell her, I said, it's not me. There are people who pray for this one to happen. So I want to thank God for this miracle. I was thinking it cannot happen, but it happened. I thank God. There is God in this church. Amen. Don't look when you are passing there, you think this building, those ones, they are playing. Those ones who are making noise, they are the one who is praying. There is God in this church. Let's attend prayers and let's attend Bible study. Amen.
Let's sing our last song and take a collection.
To hear me better this morning. The frog is out the throat and I think it sounds better. Let us pray. Lord, may your love manifested in us be a witness to your greatness. Teach us to love others the way you do. Soften our hearts where it has become hard. Make us fresh where we have become stale. Lead us and instruct us where we have become unteachable. Make us to be faithful, giving and obedient the way Jesus was. May our light so shine in us that we become a light to all who know us. Make us to be so much like Christ that when people see us, they will want to know you better. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
John will now lead us in a prayer of intercession.
Good morning once again. It's time for intercession prayer, and I'm so happy to hear this testimony about what the good Lord is doing in St. George's. And the woman said, we shouldn't sit at home when we are free and we are closer to the church. You can attend the prayer session on Thursdays when you are free. It's just 1 hour. And God is doing wonders. At the right time, I'll tell you more testimony about this prayer. And she also said she attends church somewhere, but through the Bible studies, she decided to join us. We got various places we do have our Bible studies. Please do partake in the Bible studies, so that when the enemy tries to deceive you, you can quote something from the Bible against the enemy. Amen. Please shall we bow our heads in prayer. This time I want to involve you also. You have someone you wish God touches the person. Silently pray to God. Ask God to touch your loved ones. The one who needs the anointing. The one who needs the healing. Ask God to pay visitation to that person. Because he was able to do it for Sister Nelly. Though she was here, the Holy Spirit went to Zimbabwe to solve the problem which they were not able to solve. The same God can solve your problems for you. So ask God to touch the one you think he or she need deliverance, he or she need healings, breakthrough. Just pray to the Almighty God, because it's in our midst at the moment. So with faith, speak to him at the moment, and he shall answer you as soon as possible. He has done it before. He did it for Sarah, who was over 80 years. Sarah gave birth. Elizabeth was over 80 years, or Elizabeth was old. She also gave birth to John the Baptist. Esther, on the foreign land, became a queen. He can also do it for you. Let's remember our leadership also in prayers. Pray for your leadership. Pray for the church leaders. Pray for your community leaders. Pray for your country leaders, that the good Lord should grant them heavenly wisdom, knowledge, peace, to enable them to stay affairs of this church, this community, this nation. Let's also remember those gangsters who are going around shooting people, killing people. Recently, a famous boxer, a South African boxer, has been shot. Let's pray that God have mercy on those gangsters all over South Africa, more especially in Western Cape, that they may turn back to God. the robbers. Let's remember them in prayers. The street children, the orphanage homes, homeless, the old age homes. Please remember them in prayers. Remember your family, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. Remember all of them in prayers. Bring them before God. Tell God to protect them. God, tell God to guide them. Tell God to put his right hand on them. You can't commit them into Sangoma's hand. It is only God, the faithful God, you can commit them into his hands. So bring your family before God. Bring your marriage before God, your work before God, your sickness before God, your stress before God. He is called Jehovah Rapha. He's not just called Jehovah Rapha for namesake. He's our healer. He has done it before. He did it for the woman with the issue of blood. He healed the cripples, the lepers. And he's touching you at the moment. The Spirit is moving right now. And he's healing. He's curing both those here and those who've mentioned their names earlier on. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, break us, melt us, mold us and fill us, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Holy Spirit, the Comforter, please break us at the moment. Break all those your children have mentioned their names at the moment. And as you are putting us into your Holy Ghost fire and you are melting us, please remove all diseases from us. Remove all illnesses from us. Remove all poverty from us. Untimely death from us. Premature death from us. Unhappiness, sorrows from us. And Lord, mold us. Mold us afresh as you did in the book of Genesis. And fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with long life with good health. Fill us with peace. Fill us with healings. Fill us with riches. Fill us with happiness, joy. Dump us into the blood of Jesus and cover us with the blood of Jesus. All those we've mentioned their names, both present and wherever they are, please work on them and hold them. Work on them and guide them in your ways. Protect them from all forces. May your angels guide us. May your angels protect us. May the Holy Spirit help us to do your will. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you so much for these healings. We thank you so much for being in our midst. We thank you so much for working on us. We thank you so much that our lives will never and ever be the same again. We can do what we couldn't do again because of your love. Because of your gracious love, because of your mercies, and because of your healings. Take all the glory, take all the honor, take all the praises. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we cannot live the Christian life without the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as our brother John has asked, would you fill us, Lord? Would you fill us with your power? Lord, so that we can be your witnesses. Lord, would you break the power of sin, the hold that sin has on us? Lord, have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So warm welcome to everyone this morning. If it's your first time here, my brother, I see you, and anybody else whose first time it is here, please do feel welcome. Our text is found in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to be reading from verse 12 to 20. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning I want to speak about the joy that cannot be taken away. Because there is such a joy. Think about it. Something that cannot be taken away. I want to think of all that you have, all that you own, or may own, one day, and ask, of those things, possessions, how many cannot be taken away? What is it that you have that cannot be taken away? And so the big idea, the main thing, let me put it right out there, right at the beginning, is that we can rejoice in what God does through us. But our deepest joy must be, or must rest, in belonging to Christ. I don't want you to forget that this sermon, although it stands on its own, is part of a series. We're speaking about the forgotten manifesto of Christ, where he instructs the disciples to go, but how to go. And so I want to ask the question, what happens when God uses you? Imagine coming home from a week of ministry and being able to say, you should have seen what God did. Someone came to faith. Someone was healed. Someone who had been closed to the gospel suddenly became receptive. Prayers were answered. People's lives were changed. And so you come home exhausted, but full of joy. And this is the scene that Luke paints. You see, for the past 3 weeks, we've been following Jesus, how he sends out the 72. Firstly, he taught them that the harvest belongs to the Lord, belongs to God. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Then he taught them to depend upon God. He said, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. And then he shows them, he teaches them how to find the person of peace. Look for the person of peace.
In other words, that person whom God has already prepared. And now we see them returning. And Luke tells us the 72 returned with joy. Something remarkable had happened. But as we follow their conversation with Jesus, we discover an important question for every believer, for every Christian. What happens when God uses us? You see, because ministry success can become a blessing, or it can become an idol. And so I want us to follow the story, follow the account. The first point I want to make is that the kingdom of God requires or demands a response. The 72 had been sent with a very simple message. It wasn't complicated. This was the message. The kingdom of God has come near you. They are to announce that the king has come. And because the king has come, people have to respond. And some towns will welcome the message, while others reject it. You know people who have welcomed the message, and people who have rejected the message. And then we see Christ Jesus warning that those towns that have seen his miracles but refuse to repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Why? Because they had received this tremendous, this enormous privilege. They had seen Jesus work. They had seen the miracles. They had heard his preaching, his teaching. In other words, they had encountered the kingdom, but they refused to repent. What's the principle here? For me, it seems that the more clearly we encounter the truth, the greater our responsibility to respond to it. You see, we can be surrounded by Christianity without following Christ. We can hear sermons without obeying Jesus. We can know about Jesus without surrendering to Jesus. And so the question isn't just, have I heard? It's, have I responded to the King? And then Jesus tells his disciples, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And this would have been important to them, because they were going to experience rejection. Now, I told you earlier on how on a Saturday evening I would already start stressing about the next day. Where's Elma, lady? So when you put pressure on people, for them, for me at that point, it was terrible. I didn't like it. But today I thank God for it. That there was somebody who put some pressure on me. Because if I didn't experience that pressure, maybe I would just have become so comfortable. And I would never have prayed. Or never learned to pray in public. And so I think there's a balance we need to have between encouraging people without necessarily embarrassing people. We've got to find that. And I think you're doing quite well, Elmo. And so if you get put on the spot, see it as part of the discipling process. But here Jesus is reminding them, he says, remember they're going to experience rejection. He's reminding them, you are messengers. You are not responsible for controlling people's response. Your responsibility is faithfulness. You proclaim, you pray, you love, you serve, but God gives the growth. Up till there, then all of a sudden the story changes very dramatically. If you look at verse 17, Luke says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And I think we can understand the excitement that witnessed the power of the kingdom, that gone out as ordinary disciples and discovered that the authority that Jesus gave them was real, that they could cast out demons. I want you to notice there's a crucial phrase there, in your name. They know the authority isn't theirs. It belongs to Jesus. They are representatives of the King. But they had experienced something special, something extraordinary. They had experienced the kingdom of God confronting the kingdom of darkness. Now, there's nothing wrong with their joy, and we should rejoice when God works. When someone comes to Christ, rejoice. When someone is freed from destructive sin, rejoice. When someone is healed, rejoice. When the gospel advances, rejoice. But it seems to me that Jesus is about to teach them that there's a difference between rejoicing in God's work and finding our identity in our success. You see, Jesus sees what they don't see as yet. If you look at verses 18 to 19, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You see, what's happening is that the disciples are celebrating individual victories. But Jesus sees the bigger picture. The kingdom of God is invading the kingdom of darkness. And here we see the promises of Genesis 3 that the serpent would ultimately be crushed as moving towards fulfillment. Jesus has confronted Satan. He has driven out demons. He has proclaimed the kingdom. And now his disciples are doing the same. And they're doing the same in his name. Their mission is a sign that Satan's rule is being challenged. Satan's rule is being broken by the reign and the rule of Christ. And then Jesus goes on. He says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. I want you to see, I have given you. The authority is given. It belongs to Jesus. But the disciples exercise this delegated authority. People, this should make us confident. But it should also bring a certain humility. You see, we can be confident because we don't go in our own strength. But we need to remain humble because the power is not ours. It's the King's. And the King is Jesus. Now comes the surprise. However, Jesus has told them that Satan's kingdom is being confronted. He has told them they have authority. And so you might expect him to say, well, wonderful. You know, they just come saying that the demons submit to us in your name. So you could just have said, wonderful. Keep on celebrating. Instead, this is what he says. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Why? Why should we not rejoice that the spirits submit to us, Lord? I want to say that Jesus isn't saying that their experience is unimportant. It seems to me that he's correcting the foundation of their joy. You see, they are rejoicing in what God has done through them. Jesus wants them to rejoice in what God has done for them. And I think that distinction is crucial. God doesn't want us to rejoice so much just in what he does through us, but what he has done for us. Because the question is, where do we find our identity? What is our identity? The things that God has done through us? Or the things that we have accomplished? The things that have
we've done over the years. I want you to think about how easily ministry success can become our identity, or even just ministry can become our identity. A pastor sees the church growing, an evangelist sees people coming to faith, a missionary sees lives transformed, and a Christian sees God answering prayers. And we rightly say, praise God. But we can slowly, we can move from God has done something wonderful to God is using me, and then I must therefore be important. And then our ministry becomes part of our identity, or I should probably say the most important part of our identity. And when success comes, we become proud. And when failure comes, we're discouraged. And that is why Jesus says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. You see, he isn't taking away their joy. He's teaching them where their deepest joy must come from. Where our deepest joy must come from. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And this is the heart of the passage. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The disciples are looking at what happened through them. Jesus points them to what God has done for them. You see, they are ultimately thinking about ministry. Jesus points them towards salvation. They are thinking about authority. He points them towards belonging. And so our greatest privilege is not God can use me. The greatest privilege is I belong to God. You see, because ultimately our positions can change. Your position can change. Your reputation can change. Your influence can change. Your ministry can change. And the results that you have can change. But if you belong to Christ, that remains. And this changes how we handle success. When God gives fruit, we don't pretend it didn't happen. I mean, we rejoice. We're not sad about it. We don't say, look, it didn't happen. We rejoice. But our response is, thank you, Lord. Not look how important I am. I want to point out that everything that we have, everything we've received is through God's grace. Our gifts, our response, our opportunities, our strength, the people God has placed in our lives, everything. The fruit we see. So ministry success should produce gratitude, not pride. It also changes how we deal with failure. You see, this same truth protects us when things don't go well. What happens when someone you prayed for doesn't change? When someone you've been discipling for years walks away? When your church struggles? When your invitation is rejected? When your ministry produces very little visible fruit. I want to say that if your identity rests in results, failure can make you question your worth. But Jesus says, your names are written in heaven. And so you can fail in assignment without failing as a person. You can experience a barren season without losing your identity. You see, because you belong to Christ. Therefore, you are free to serve faithfully without needing success to prove your value or to be validated by success. What's the lesson for mission? Remember, this is in the context of making disciples. And so we want to see what Jesus is instructing the disciples so that hopefully we can learn from that. I mean, at the beginning, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. God is already working. We go like lambs among wolves. In other words, we depend upon God. And then we look for the person of peace. We invest where God is opening doors. And now, today, we see, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so we don't make ministry about ourselves. God owns the harvest. God gives the strength. God opens the doors. God gives the authority. He gives the growth. And importantly, God gives us our identity. I just want to, I've spoken to so many people this week where I had occasion to say it. I think I need to say it here as well, for those of you who have not heard it before. My people are the people of God. You are my people. So don't appeal to me on the basis of ethnicity. That Osses Brusa, or we are brothers, by referring to, oh, you're colored, or something like that. My people is God's people. And if you have another kind of thinking, I think that thinking needs to be addressed. And I know this is a sort of uncomfortable, I don't really like talking, I think, why is Christopher raising this now? But it's relevant because people often appeal to you because of your ethnicity. Somehow you've got to understand, somehow you've got to give them something. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. God gives us our identity. And so, mission isn't about proving ourselves. It's about faithfully participating in what Jesus is doing. And so I want to ask you this morning, where is your confidence? Is my confidence based or rooted in Christ or ministry success or some kind of other success? You see, when God uses you, can you rejoice without taking the glory? And when ministry fails, can you remain faithful without questioning your worth? The greatest privilege isn't that demons submit. It isn't that people respond to our preaching or our teaching. It isn't that our ministry succeeds. The greatest privilege is that we belong to Jesus. That we belong to God. And because of that, we serve faithfully. We preach boldly. We pray with expectant hearts. And we look for where God is working. And we rejoice when He gives fruit. But the warning we have here is that we don't build our identity on the fruit. And we don't allow failure to destroy us. Because this is where our deepest confidence rests. I belong to Jesus. My name is written in heaven. When you have that, you have the joy that cannot be taken away. And so I want to encourage you this morning. If there's anything else in which you have based your identity or your self-worth or sense of self-worth, hear the words of Jesus. He's not so much reprimanding the disciples as he's redirecting them. He's glad that they've been successful. But he wants their joy to come from belonging to Him. And He wants our joy to come from belonging to Him. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we are a people with many needs. Many of us face many challenges, Lord. This morning we come to You. Firstly, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that our identity can be found in You. Lord, I want to pray and ask You, Lord, that You would help us. That as we continue to reflect on this word, that You would show us. That You would reveal to us. Illuminate Your word, Lord, that we may see where we can find our joy, true joy. A joy that cannot be taken away, even when our situation and our circumstances change. Lord, would you also help us to spread this joy, to call others into your kingdom, to announce that the King has come, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Father, I want to commit your people to you this morning for the week that lies ahead, the challenges they will face. Strengthen every one of them. Guard them, protect them, Lord. Give them your insights and your wisdom as they navigate through this world and this life. Thank you that you have not left us alone. Thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you so work in us, Lord, that we would know you and walk with you. Amen. Please stand.
Last song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.